Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Rainbow Soul is a channel. Sports in Depth is the show coming to you live from Northeast Brazil, Fortaleza, open and always with John Coltrane and the prayer, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. Blessings unseen, acknowledged, and all undeserved. We thank you, as the man once said, that although we do not live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live in a yard all by yourself. And you may not be everybody's God, but you're the only one true God. Because our family's here. Brazil, USA, and wherever they may be. And more importantly, Lord, give us so much not what we want, but what we need. We ask you to bless in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Break. Radio Network, once again, coming to you from the land, as Steve Blazer says, endless, some of the most beautiful women in the world, greatest juices, finest people, and amazingly enough, the third most drink alcoholic beverage in the world, cachaça. And amazingly enough, they only export 1%. Vodka leads the list. Whiskey, as the old cowboys would drink, is number two. Cachaça is number three. Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake, Radio, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth, the show, the crew is coming in live as we continue to bring you our shows live here from Brazil, 250 miles away from the equator. Steve Wing said, I love that, Doc. 53, not 275, 250. Endless summer. I got my man Brian here from Philly. Hold Dr. J. Mike Smith, man. Philly in the end now. He'll be talking a little about football at big time. But right now, let's go. I think I've got no. Oh, Rooney, did you find it? Rooney? And see, and Lady S.
I'm on, Doc.
I know you're on, and I know you're blaming and blaming about that fight last night. The money man, Floyd Mayweather Jr., continues to win. And who else is with me now from the crew?
C-Wings coming to you live from the new MetLife Stadium, live at the Meadowlands.
The dynamic duo, baby. Wonder Woman and Batman, live, baby. No, the Flash. C-Wings, let's go back to the Jet game. J-E-T-S Jets, big game, big victory. Give us a score, give us a rundown.
Big score. Let's go to Mark Sanchez. He was 17 for 24, 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, and also he 2 interceptions. He did get slightly injured in the fourth quarter. He was put back into the game for one play, and he took a hit to his hand, but Coach Ryan said he's going to be okay. Now, before I get into the Jets, if I could just go down to the scores, there were some big wins today. Throughout the NFL, most namely is the Buffalo Bills over the Raiders, 38-35. Even though the
hold on a minute, Buffalo came back and won that game.
Yeah, 38-35. Which if you look at, we crushed the Raiders last year, 43-0. This year, I don't think it may be some sort of challenge. But the way that they play Buffalo today, it's not going to be an easy win next week. So that's
you know. See, when you talked about we. Not to steal, but you know, your whole thing has changed. You and Coach Ryan are buddies. Mark Sanchez, Coach is our first name. Larry Hutch, you know, tell Doc. But on the real side, Doc, Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Sports Show. And once again, I've said this privately and publicly, but we here at Rainbow Soul really cannot put into words what you brought to this program, to this organization, with your class character and your insight and depth knowledge in this game. And it's something fans, and you're across the world here, Brazil, the Panama, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Holland, French, you know, it's something that's acknowledged by the Jets himself. I mean, it's a known fact that not only does Coach Ryan like you, but he respects you. Big game today. There's another game going on tonight. The Eagles and the Falcons, the Vikings have lost again. Packers, you know, there was some talk about their defense, which really didn't show a lot of defense last week. Okay, what's happening with our all-pro center? Be all right? Is he every week?
It's who, Nick? I can't hear you. You have an echo. Say that one more time. Doc, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. How bad?
Doc,
you're
going in and out.
Hello.
I can't.
Okay.
The problem is sea wings. You're fading in and out a little.
Okay, well, we'll just move ad lib here.
Hey, Cedric, I hear you loud and clear. I think it's down there.
Yeah, it's
Doctor.
Yeah, Lady A on there.
Is that
my Lady A?
Hi, Coco. I miss you.
Oh, the feeling is so mutual, Lady A.
How you guys doing?
Good to hear your delta tones.
Hey,
he's coming in and out.
I know Doc said something smart, Alecky, but I missed it.
I know, me too.
I think he was going to say this is not the match.com. It's the Doc Stanley.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. This is not the dating game.
Oh, God.
The first to start off is that the Jets broke a tradition, you know, Coach Ryan, of deferring the kickoff after the coin toss, and actually spoke to the British Shaw Ferguson and asked them if that kind of helped fire up the team and breaking the tradition and to get them going. And he actually said that sometimes you need to break that, you know, to keep the team on point. And I think that kind of helped the team along, actually, because when they did take it, they were up 9-0 very quickly. So I think that kind of helped it. It kind of turned the tables, gave a different insight for the team or the game, what they had to do. It was a good game. They started off like last week, not as bad, but they were able to bounce back. And they took a large margin. It looked like at first that Jacksonville's defense was going to try to stay in there, but once the interception started coming, it kind of took something out the offense.
And
our defense. Can you hear me, lady?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Our All-Pro center. Is he going to be able to play next week?
He has an injury to his ankle, but when it was brought up to Coach Ryan, he said they will look at it. It's probable, but they'll have to see after the test. I think once he walked off the sideline, he was walking around, so that's a good sign. They didn't wheel him off in one of those carts, so that's always a good sign. But as we know in the sport of football, that one day a guy can limp off, and then, you know, maybe a day or two later, they find out he has some sort of torn ligament. So, who knows? They'll have to see after the test.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports and Depth is your live from Northeast Brazil. from the legendary Puerto Legend. But so, see, Wings, I know you bleed the JETS green, but big game tomorrow night, and the Giants got off on a bad way last week. They're playing a Monday night game, MetLife. Are they starting to take over? Are they starting to be the team in New York in the eyes of a lot of people, see, Wings?
What, the Jets?
The Giants.
Oh, the Giants. No, the Jets.
I can't hear you, Doc. You keep cutting out. I couldn't hear what you said the last. Can anybody tell me
what
you
Jets asked? Definitely own this city now. See, I don't think there's much question about that. I mean, football-wise, the Jets own this city.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Jets are the talk of the town. As you look at it, for many years, the Giants, first of all, we talk about ticket sales. The Giants' tickets as an individual ticket or as a season holder were the most expensive in the NFL. And the New York Jets just surpassed that. I think it was 130, 140 average ticket price, which surpassed the Giants. So that's a step in the right direction for the Jets. And with us having to play them on Christmas Eve, is this the new Subway Series of the NFL for New York?
You know what, though, Coco, you brought up a good point, though, but the thing I look at, too, is you got a lot of bandwagon fans, too, now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
People jumping on a bandwagon now. I mean, how many people have been able to hang in there with the Jets as long as true Jet fans have? When's the last time they won a Super Bowl? I mean... So all these people that are saying now they're Jet fans, I beg to differ. You know what I mean?
How many people say they were fans when Dan Marino did the fake spike and say they were actually there?
Well, that's the Jets.
I still remember that. I still remember that so clearly. That's still a very painful memory.
Tell me about it.
I think if they did. If they didn't build a new stadium, I think I would have been able to find the stain where I left the tears on the 20-yard line.
The Jets have always had there's certain contingency of fans. For you to tell me now from a financial standpoint of view that they're supplanting the Giants from an economic standpoint of view is really amazing. You know, the Giants have always been like old money. But the Jets have always had a very devoted amount of fans, and I think the Jets fans have been a nicer core of people. I think a lot of Giants fans were fans because of the just been handed down. But I think Jets were the only team in New York that me and my dad agreed on. But I think the Jets fans have always been a more sincere fan, and I think a lot of the Jets fans is, and Rooney, you can dovetail all this with me, and wait for Dusty to join us too. A lot of this, you know, a lot of the Jets fans are still old AFL fans, Rooney.
I'm sorry, Doug. You said there's a lot of Jets fans are still what now? I didn't hear the end of it.
They're still old AFL fans.
Yeah, Doug, no doubt. You're right. Well, you know, that's always been, the Jets have always been like the kind of the stepchild in the city, but the upstarts, if you will.
Really?
Yeah.
You always come up with a point with this. Dude, you have to call him Stepchildren, don't you? My goodness.
Well, like you said, the Giants have been the old money that's been around for an eternity. The Jets have been, you know, for a long time, the young upstarts, the stepchildren, if you will, trying to have their own identity and what have you. And now they're there, Doc. Rex came in here talking a lot of braggadocio, a lot of jibber-jabber. And they backed it up for the most part. Two AFC title games in 2 years, not bad.
But
come up here, and no matter what you think of the guy, he finds a way to win and gets it done in the end.
But you know what it is Rooney, too? I mean, I think it says a lot, too, about the camaraderie of the team since he's gotten there and the will of the team to be resilient and want to win with this guy. I mean, last week's game, the Sea Wings and I went to, I mean, you saw it. You saw the bravado. You saw that come out, you know, with them in the second half of the game. Am I right, Sea Wings? You saw it. You know, you felt it. I mean, the last two quarters of the game, I don't know what happened, but they came out like like a caged beast. Like they were just out there making waves.
Maybe, hey, you bring up a point that's so valid, and I think a lot of that has to do with that AFL mentality. You know, the Jets seem more family.
Yes.
Than the Giants, and even from a media standpoint of view, you know, the Jets are always more accommodating, more willing to make adjustments. And I remember the great PR man Frank Ramos, and even with that, I mean, not to what my family here says on the money, but a lot of the Jets' mindset, because a lot of the players don't like the Giant coach, but there are few players, not only in the team, but there are guys in the league who want to play for Coach Ryan.
That's correct. And when you have that, I think that when you have that type of chemistry on a team, you know, guys are willing to leave it all out in the field, you know. And when they're out in, I mean, you can see it when out in the gridiron, when they're out there, you see them wanting to make and fight for every yard, for every inch. And it makes a difference, you know. I mean, I don't think that, you know, when you have and it's nothing against the Giants coach, you know, but I think that, you know, in talking to Rex Ryan and seeing how he gels with his guys, I mean, it's apparent, and they leave it out in the field. I mean, like I said, last week, okay, 9/11 was a big thing, but you know, equally as well. I mean, when you look overall at how the team performed on the field, Sea Wings and I were looking at each other like, I said to Sea Wings right before Revis made that interception, I said, it's not over. Watch them make the interception. His jaw dropped when Revis made the interception.
No, you said he was going to throw an interception, and it happened just as
right.
You said it.
Exactly. And you know what? Okay,
hold on.
Hey.
So what you're talking about now is that...
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you. Just cutting in and out.
Doc.
I know he's trying to get back, but I'm like you said, Doc, cutting it out. With us, Doc? We're struggling to hear you.
Is he fading in and out? You guys hear him or?
No, I don't hear him at all now.
I don't even know at all either.
All right, for our fans, we're having just a bit of technical difficulty. However, the rest of Dr. Mortal's staff, meaning myself, C. Wings, and the incredible Lady A, will be happy to fill until his return, if you will. So,
hello,
hey,
this
my,
is Justino.
All day, all night, all the time.
Justino's
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Well, you having trouble? You having trouble connection?
Yeah. What's
trouble.
Up, Dusty? What's up?
Get that Dusty checking in.
Get past IA, what's going on?
What's up, Bob?
I'm going to tell you what's going on, hey. Dust. Can we get more than four rounds in a Mayweather fight?
Well, I don't know, because right now I'm in Mayweather country, so I don't want to talk to nobody.
Hey, Dusty Sea Wings, I think that the Mayweather, I think it was perfectly legal, and like Ortiz said, he learned a lesson yesterday.
Let me tell you something. There was nothing wrong with Mayweather hitting him. The incompetence came from Joe Cortez, and the brutality came from Ortiz. I'm sorry if you don't agree, but that's exactly what it is. Ortiz was getting to Floyd. I mean, I don't say by much, but he was getting to Floyd. There was no need for that flagrant foul. In fact, he cut Floyd's mouth at the bottom of his lip. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see his reaction?
Did you see Mayweather's
reaction?
He had to cut the bottom of his lip. And that was no need for that, man.
Mayweather's reaction.
If I had been Floyd, I would have done the same thing. I would have hit him.
If you look at it, Dusty, Ortiz, after he cut his lip, because remember, he headbutted him before.
Exactly.
And Mayweather, if you take the fight and rewind it back, he realized, I think, that he pissed Mayweather off. Now it's personal now. And he tried to make amends, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because this guy is really going to let me have it now.
Right.
And that's why he said, I'm sorry.
And he hugged him and he tried to kiss him and all that nonsense. Nah, everything goes out the water. You try to foul me, I'm going to hit you. And that's exactly what I am concerned about is the fact, the incompetence of Joe Cortez. He's
and you know something, does not interrupt. You know, not to interrupt us. Well, yeah. You being a professional fighter would know this better than anyone. No, this isn't the first time that Cortez has done some questionable refereeing, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
Cortez did it with Ricky Hatton.
Shaky at times.
Yeah, he did it with Ricky Hatton. And this is deja vu. But I don't understand how this man, look, if there's a foul just below the belt or whatever the heck it is, and you want to stop the action, you take the victim, in this case Mayweather, you put him in a neutral corner, and then you take the offender, and he should have taken away 2 points, if not a disqualification. Then, when that is done, you take control. You don't let these guys walk towards each other. You take control until you say, okay, now you can fight. But he let them hug and kiss and come to each other. And him, Cortez, was looking at, maybe he was checking out the audience. Maybe Christina Aguilera. I don't know what the hell he was looking at. Because he was looking, meantime, when Floyd Mayweather came forward and hit him, he didn't even see the left hook and he didn't even see the right hand. He only noticed something was wrong when Ortiz hit the canvas.
Hey, Dusty, listen. Do you think that this referee would have been better? Listen, I'm going to name a referee. You tell me if you think would have been better.
Okay.
Manny Ramirez.
Oh, yeah, I love you for that, man.
Ortiz, once he got punched, he looked at Cortez like, please help me out.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't even get a chance to react.
Ref, help me out. It's your problem. You made it.
Let me ask you this, Ortiz, what are you doing? Let's go. And he did the motions of his hand like, let's go, let's fight now.
Let me ask you guys this. What happened with Larry Merchant, right? What's his story?
Larry Merchant is Bush League. He should be taken off the field because, first of all, there is a general dislike for Mayweather. He's always goading Mayweather. Now, he goes Mayweather because he knows Mayweather knows that he doesn't like him, and Mayweather, with his diva Naomi Campbell mentality, is going to come back at him. Really, I'm telling you. And what happens is that stupid Larry Merchant turns around with 50 years younger, I'll kick you. Well, he should be taken off. That was Bush League. In the media, you maintain
professionalism. Why wouldn't you have put in a guy who, and I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, I mean, because to me, I think he is just such a professional. Max Kellerman, to me, I think, is overall one of the best commentators when it comes to something like that. After post-ring interviews, I would have put him in there, and I think he's more, you know, I mean, not that Larry Merchant does not come with a little bit of seasoning, you know, but still, I feel that Max Kellerman would have been a great guy to put in there. All right,
the first guy that I thought about. I said, why this chump when Max Kellerman should have been, in fact, Max Kellerman has that face-to-face, so he's familiar with these guys.
Right. Not only that, but I think that he doesn't go in with a personal bias, which as a journalist, you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to report the facts and ask those questions
that fans really want to ask. But you
let
don't think it was
lady,
funny
to
that
be honest
he said
with
he
you.
Wish he was 50 years younger?
Like Lady A said, not only does Merchant have much seasoning, I think his problem is he has too damn much seasoning. He's over the hill. They need to get somebody who's younger, hipper, and more important. I mean, we're tripping around for 106 years, and that's about 100 years too long, Rev.
Right.
Well, you know, HBO got rid of him to replace him with Max Kellerman, so I don't know why he's back.
Right.
Yeah, a long time ago, 2 or 3 years ago, Max Kellerman came there to replace him. I don't know where Max Kellerman was last night, but he you're right, ADA, he should have been the interviewer.
I mean, you know, when you look at, when you look overall, I mean, as far as their commentators, their fight commentators,
yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't think anybody will deny the fact Emmanuel Lewis is I mean, he is one of the best, I think. I mean, he could tell you what goes on inside and outside the ring. And as a
broadcasting,
fan,
broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
I got a dear visitor here, so I got to go, okay?
No.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that as a fan, you know, you look at, you know, he comes with a lot of experience, right? He's been training fighters for years, and that you want to hear that side of it. You also want to hear the fighter standpoint. So I think that, you know, it's important sometimes for them to have guys like Roy Jones, you know. I think the pre-fight also earlier last night, they had something with, what's his name, Sugar Ray Leonard. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I saw some of the
on the live segment, because it was like the live segment late last night, you know, or the night before. But, you know, I mean, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to see and hear all aspects, you know. But Larry Merchant doesn't provide too much, you know, in those areas.
He doesn't. It's really weak, you know, from his standpoint, maybe. And I agree with you 1,000%. You get more of an insight with the type of folks that you just finished mentioning.
Right.
You know what are guys thinking in this situation? You know, what is their game plan going to be? You know, what are they feeling right about now? You know, things like that you know, people who really follow the sport, you know, really want to know and are really interested in.
Right.
And like you said, Merchant to me doesn't really bring all that much to the table.
Right. Well, you know, I think you kind of got to look at things like that and, you know, put them into perspective. I mean, you know, I went to the Gamboa fight in Atlantic City, not obviously not this Saturday, but past Saturday, but Saturday before. And, you know, Max Kellerman was there. And I'll tell you, you know, he was there with Emmanuel Lewis, Emmanuel Stewart. And, you know, just
yeah,
to see them.
Yeah, I thought you were hanging out with the little guy for a moment.
Yeah, nah,
Annie.
But, you know, just to see him.
Hey, what happened, I've had to call in on the other line, so I'm like a caller, but we're in here together. Fox Family Sports and Death on the Blake with another Rainbow Soul and Channel. Sports and Death is a show. We got it together. Lady A, yeah, Rooney, I want to go with you first. You said some things that were always two things, and I said the connection between the AFL and the family thing. And you talked about Cortez. Dusty was a little hard on Cortez, but Dusty can be hard on anybody. But you're right. To a certain degree, he was a little lax, but you're right. He's been too good too often to let us get on that. Here's the bottom line. You've heard it before, Lady A, you've heard it, Sea Wings, Rooney. Protect yourself at all times. Am I wrong, Rooney?
And what's so shocking about that, Doc, is that is the very, very first rule of all combat. Protect yourself at all, and I mean all times.
My dad. Hey, how you doing, sir? Bless you, meet you. Find your man. He's the best. Heard a lot about you. It's been a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Oh, it's
all mine, sir. Yeah,
nice guy. Living room.
Lady
A.
Yes. Yes, Doc. I'm here.
He cut off again.
Yeah, no, Doc's gone.
Is he still there? Doc?
He probably can hear us, but we can't hear him.
Yeah.
But, like I agree with him. Listen, protect yourself at all times. He headbutted him. If you look at, I believe it's, what's it, the last few seconds of the fourth round, Mayweather makes a gesture to someone. I don't know if it was in his camp or someone in the audience, but he made that some sort of head gesture, like, yeah, I know about this. I have him in a few minutes.
I think Ortiz picked that up and said, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, but you know what? Coco, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coco, but it's not the first time that he's come under controversy. I don't know if you remember the Gotti fight. It was around the same time, right, Coco, around the fourth round where the same thing happened?
Yeah, your point's well taken. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, and Gotti turned and said, hey, well, you know, what the hell was that? You know, and it came under controversy.
And not only that, Lady A, but if you remember, Tez's trainer kept trying to make a point about watching Mayweather with the head, watching with the elbow, watching with this, watching with that.
Right.
You know, they tried to get brownie points and make sure Cortez was on the lookout because he basically had said, which, you know, guys always throw around a whole lot of jibber-jabber for the fight, but he basically accused Mayweather of being dirty way before then.
Yeah, but you know what, Coco? Hey, let's face it. It's a sport of combat. It's a fight.
Hey,
you're there to fight. You're in the ring, and you're there to fight. You know?
Lady
you,
A,
don't cry.
I agree.
Don't cry. Come on. There's no crying in
Lady
boxing.
Lady A, I agree. Once you step through those ropes, it is all fair game.
There's no crying in boxing.
Standing, and then Lady A, for that to be standing there like he's going to a church social, instead of in a big-time rumble, is beyond me. Like Doc was saying and C-Wings was saying, and of course you know, that is the first rule of any combat.
Yeah.
Martial arts, boxing, wrestling, you protect yourself at all, and I mean all times.
And always keep your eye on the opponent.
Wrestling ring, I'm sorry?
Always keep your eye on your opponent. Enter the dragon.
Oh, man.
But you know one thing with that fight, and they were right with, you know, saying, you know, watch Mayweather because he's known for throwing the high elbows or whatever.
Yeah, the
but
high elbows.
You
right
can't. You can't say that and then think you're gonna fight dirty and get away with it. I mean, at one point, as you look when him and Larry at the end when doing the interview, I thought it was gonna end up turning into a Bogalata brawl. With the
wow.
Booing and stuff like that, I actually thought that someone was going to spark a brawl there.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you know what
it
I think?
Bad.
I think it just speaks levels and volumes about Mayweather's maturity. Maybe 10 years ago, but now it just speaks volumes a little more about his maturity, you know? Obviously, he's not going to stand there and let him say whatever he wants, you know, but it just speaks volumes about Mayweather's maturity, you know?
He was a classy gentleman by going over to the corner. But he went over in a gesture like, listen, young man, I taught you a lesson. And Ortiz actually said it. I learned a lesson today. He was laughing. I don't know if he was laughing because his brain was still facing the other way or because he actually said he didn't mean to headbutt him and that Mayweather actually pushed him. And I looked at the tape over and over. He didn't push him at all while he was on the ropes. No, he didn't push him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ortiz, I think, and it was a good fight. It wasn't. He was sticking in there with Mayweather. It wasn't a lopsided fight, I don't think.
Coco, Ortiz was able to go up to 160-some-odd pounds after the weigh-in.
Yeah, I know those guys.
And Mayweather stayed at a comfortable 150. I mean, even with that much weight tagged on, I mean, it just seemed like Mayweather dominated him.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to say this about me. You know, this is why, Lady A, I'm so frustrated about the big one not coming up now. I think it's, what, in another week now we have Pacquiao and, what is it, Martinez?
Marquez.
Thank you. Now, we got that fight coming up. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lady A, C-Wings, and us. They're going to have to get this thing done. Now, both of them are a little older now. It's getting to the point where I'm starting to lose interest. Are they going
to get it on or not? Right. Well, at the press conference, you know, the Mayweather-Ortiz press conference, he pretty much said that he, you know, he's going to fight him. But the thing is he going to subject himself to this drug testing that he's adamant about having, you know? I mean,
say one thing, maybe, you know the guy that Pacquiao is fighting. You know, I don't really agree with this, but I'm not going to say it's a sham either. He already says, hey, I already beat Pacquiao twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the draw and the decision was closer. You know, he says, in my mind, I already beat the guy twice, so all this stuff about, hey, he's going to fight Floyd, hey, that's not necessarily false.
Right.
Wow. But even Bob Arum, when I interviewed him, he said that, you know, that there's some concern that Pacquiao has against fighting Marquez, because if you look, Marquez won a lot of the rounds in that fight. They thought that Marquez should have won the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found interesting, and Lady A, I think you could back me up on this, when they said that Pacquiao is training for an extra 2 weeks, that sparked some concern. I don't think he's fighting a lot of big fights.
Right. I think that when you told me that, I said, what? You know, and then I remember I was speaking to Freddie Roach on the side, and he was telling me something about that as well. I mean, I think it just speaks volumes about the concern with Marquez. You know, because why would you train an extra 2 weeks if it wasn't that you were, concerned about it, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that means lots of concern when a guy thinks that, hey, he's going to add another 2 weeks on his training regimen for this. Let's face it. Those were real difficult fights for Pacquiao.
Right.
He knows it wasn't a walk in the park.
Right.
And if he wants to, he knows he's getting ready for battle. He knows
right.
it's going to be a war.
Right.
So he figures, hey, I'm going to put in all the work now because I know this guy is not going to be easy.
Right, right. We're going to have to wait and see, I think, you know, what happens.
Well, I think that fight last night was ended out of anger. Because
anger?
Remember, he was, yeah, out of anger. he knocked him. It was like, I don't know.
All right,
if
control yourself, C-Wings. Control yourself. You don't have to keep laughing here.
No, I can't. Because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Two professional fights. I couldn't believe I was seeing what I saw. And it's like that episode of, that movie of Rush Hour 2, when Chris Tucker got kicked so fast and hard.
Mm-hmm.
He said, who kicked me? And that's the look that Ortiz had on his face, like, did I just get hit and bow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I just did. Boom, and he hit the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it, and you wind it back time and time again. He was stunned.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know. He couldn't react.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even look like Mayweather hit him that hard. It looked like he more or less slapped him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious, and even Cortez, I can't help it. When you look at the replay, even Cortez has a look on his face like, oh crap, what just happened when he hit him the second time?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the replay when they be playing in slow motion. Cortez is caught off guard as well.
Mm-hmm.
He should have broke him up when he was being called by the guy, I don't know who he was speaking to, one of the refs outside. But, you know, you can't successfully referee a fight when you're not watching what's going on.
Right. You said straight out, you were like, listen, how often does this guy make a mistake? I mean, I think him and Kenny Bayless are probably the top two referees in boxing right now, don't you? Hello?
We lost them too?
Yeah, that's probably right. You have to go with that. That's the top two reps. Yeah.
No.
And by the way, Lady A and C-Wings, I have to say this. I didn't get really a chance to say this the last time we were all on and thus, but I have to say this. Talk about a bad job of refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
About a month ago, I can't remember the African champion's name, Kayua or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I counted seriously somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 low blows.
This guy got hit by
from his opponent. I think the HBO guys counted like 25.
Right.
I counted like at least 15, maybe 20, and
right.
not a single point was ever taken.
Yeah, that was disgusting, wasn't it? That
I've
fight was disgusting, and
like
I, you know what? And I forget, I saw that fight, and you know what? It was disgusting. It really was disgusting. And you know what? I think it was it the bantamweight? I think it was a bantamweight fight, right? It was
I think it was in 118 somewhere. Lady, it was either 18 or 22. It was either 118 or 122. It was either bantam or junior feathers. I don't remember which. But you know
right.
the fight I speak of? The champion was an African champion.
That's right.
I think the challenger was a Latino. For some reason, which I apologize, the names aren't coming readily to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I counted like
15 to 20 low blows.
And then they gave the fight to the they took the fight away from him.
Yeah. And I don't mean borderline low blows.
Oh, yeah, you're talking, yeah, right, like on the cup.
You're talking about Galata low blows, Galata-type low blows, and that's what happened. Besides the guys being hooligans, that's what sparked a riot between Riddick Bowe and Galata when he kept hitting below the belt. Even though that he lost the fight due to the disqualification, but he kept hitting Riddick Bowe below the belt. And he's known for that, too. Wouldn't you say?
I didn't know the super part about that, T. Wings, was Galata was winning that Rumble. Without the low blows, man, he probably could have got a legitimate knockout.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
Actually, before he hit him below the belt that started the riot, he was really tearing Bo up with a 1-2 combination. I mean, he was, and then he just hit him below the belt, and they disqualified him right then and there because I think he was worn twice before.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I mean, it doesn't give the guys a right to storm the ring and start a riot.
No, absolutely not. I mean, that was uncalled for.
Unprofessional. And,
unsportsmanlike.
It was just barbaric, basically.
You know, see, Wings, you know I have to say this to you, Lady A. You know, the only other ride I can recall at the Garden that time, I was actually involved in, it was a championship high school game. High school championship.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened where the other team had scored like the winning basket underneath the other team's hoop. So when they scored the winning basket, they're like in kind of hostile territory on the other part of the floor.
Right.
Well, when they started celebrating right in front of the losing team's bench, some people took exception. Before you know it, I had a garden full of high school kids throwing everything in sight.
Wow.
It was the wildest thing you've ever seen. If you've never been in the middle of a bona fide riot, it's the wildest thing you've ever seen up close and personal.
And you mean you didn't fly off the top turnbuckle and not and you know take care of it? You didn't do the Jimmy Snuka air butter.
No, lady, no 20-foot steel cages for me. I figured I'd take this thing strictly as an observer.
Well, I think if they're going to cause a riot in boxing, bring back Fan Man. That's what I say. Bring Fan Man
and
back and you'll get it going.
See, Wings, the crazy thing about Fan Man is he almost cleared that top rope. Another little bit he would have flown directly into the ring.
No, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, gang.
You
hear me?
With all those rights.
Hey, Doc, you're back. You guys hear him?
Okay. I agree wholeheartedly on a lot of the commentary. The thought here, real quickly, an Ortiz Mayweather rematch. Yes, no, maybe so.
Go ahead, C. Wings, you first.
No, that's not enough for the appetizer. Let's just go right on to Pacquiao get rid of Marquez next week. And can we please get on? You know, I'm starting to lose interest. The guys are getting another year older. Okay. We've been wanting this for like the last 2 years. Can we make this rumble and move on?
Hey, what's that great line?
What was that?
Lady A, Margarito Coro,
Madison Square Garden, I think you're getting ready to say, right? I can't hear because you just broke up. Doc, is that what you're saying, Madison Square Garden?
Doc's bringing up on us, but I think you're right, Lady A.
Yeah, I think that's the December fight he's talking about, Margarito.
Yeah.
My outlook on that. Number one, I my personal opinion, if Margarito Margarito was caught with the plasma in his hands. I really don't think he should even be boxing anymore. When I was at the fight on Saturday with Gamboa in Atlantic City, a couple of guys from the press were talking about it. And the general consensus is that, you know, obviously something did happen with Margarito, and the most people do not feel like if that is the case, that Margarito should be given the opportunity to fight these fights, these big fights. You know, more than anything, my own personal opinion, this may be more of a thing for Cotto as far as redemption goes, to just prove that, hey, you know what, this guy obviously cheated. This is my chance to kind of work my way back and, you know, erase that one that I had added to me as a loss. You know, but personally, I don't think Cotto really likes the guy. Obviously, after that loss, we know that Pacquiao, he lost to Pacquiao as well. So now he's got a couple of losses under his belt. But I think this is more like a redemption for him than anything.
So
and I'll be interested in seeing what the fight, you know, what the fight outcome is going to be.
So Lady A, you think that when he got caught off guard with the concrete, you said?
I'm sorry, say again.
You said he got caught with the concrete in the gloves?
The plaster, not concrete. The plaster, yeah.
The plaster. Now, do you think he should be banned from boxing the same way as you, equivalent to using HGH and other sports like baseball?
I don't think it's an equivalent to HGH in baseball because he could have killed somebody. You know, you want to go and you want to take HGH. You want to go and take HGH. That's on you. Go knock yourself out. You know, you want to kill yourself. Go do what you want to do. Okay, but you know, when you got somebody that gets in the ring and has plaster in their hands and knows what they're doing clearly, okay, and goes in there and could really hurt somebody, you know, why is this guy still boxing? Why is he still boxing?
I kind of agree with Lady A. This is worse than HGH or steroids. This is the equivalent of Billy Collins and
it is.
That kind of scandal way back when. That's what this is equivalent
of. Okay, let's even throw this in the mix, Cotto. I mean, you know, and since we're talking, you know, we want to have an open forum here and an open conversation, you know. Let's throw this in the mix.
Have a good night.
Let's say that we don't know what he did in the past, okay? Because he got caught one time, right? So we can't say what he did the other times. But the chance for Cotto to go in there now and beat him, right, fair and square, I think that for him, that brings a little bit more more to him in it, psychologically. You know what I mean? To say, hey, you know what? That's how I know that if, you know, that this guy might have had plaster in his gloves that day when he beat me. Because I know I felt like I was getting hit. This is literally what he said. He said he felt like he was getting hit by concrete. Like, so.
Lady A, with all due respect, not only are you 100% correct, and she was, not only do I agree with Lady A 1,010%, but the fact is this, okay? He is thinking every single night about how he is going to lay the smackdown on Margarito. He knows gloves were loaded when he got beat up. It was one of the worst beatings that he's taken in his entire career. He knows he was getting hit with concrete, and he wants to lay the smackdown on this guy, I think, more than anybody that he's ever fought.
But you know what, Cotto, too, not even just more so like, you know, we're talking about him having a chance to get a clean slate and everything and redemption. But on top of that, too, you know, I think it's going to close a chapter in his life because shortly after that, those last few fights, he lost his father. So I think that's a chance for him, you know, to close the chapter, you know, and say, you know what, now I can start fresh. You know, I beat this guy. You know, it's a new beginning. You know, I mean, even though we know that now, you know, he had a fight after that, you know, when Manuel Stewart was, you know, training him and you know, and he beat Yuri Foreman. But I think that this is a way for him to close that chapter in his life. You know, that, you know.
That's a good job by you. He may get some type of closure.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a real unique insight on your part. That really may be a type of closure for him. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants this, lady. He wants this I am telling you, as a performer, rapper, he wants this. He can taste this. You
right.
take my word for it. When he comes to walk in that aisle, come December, his eyes and he's just going to be dripping with, let's get this on.
Yeah, you know,
oh,
and like,
no
look, you know, I mean, they're both Bob Arum fighters. You know, I think, like I said before, I think the general consensus in the press was, you know what, if this happened, you know, no one could say, in other words, no one could say what happened before. And I think that was a point that a lot of guys brought up, you know, us sitting around just, you know, shooting a breeze. You know, I mean, we don't know what happened before, you know, but, I mean, I think there's an obvious disgust, you know, with Miguel, you know, when even dealing with this guy. Like, you know, this guy could have actually killed him, you know. So, I mean, in my own personal opinion, I don't really believe Margarito should be fighting. I don't think he should be boxing. You know, how do you not know what somebody's putting on your hands? I mean, come on. How do you not know? You know? So, I mean, especially in your hand wraps, you sit there and you watch when somebody puts stuff in your hand wraps, you know? So, I don't know.
Let me tell you something, Lady A. There's someone who's just done something. Now, I never did any pro boxing, but I've done some smokers as an amateur. And you know every feeling about those gloves and your hand wraps, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. If somebody would have slipped a penny inside those wraps, you know it, all right? So that stuff about, well, I had no idea, I didn't feel nothing, it was a total load of ball.
Right.
Those guys are meticulous in the wrapping of their hands and exactly where their hand is in the glove and the feeling of that, as a baseball player is and what bat he's using and how many ounces in the whole nine, okay?
Right.
A boxer just knows that. So
right.
That's part of their entire, you know, makeup. When they go through their a preparation, that is part of it. So
right.
If you were to slip a nickel or a penny and a boxer's hand wrap, you say, hey, you feel it automatic. If you said close your eyes and want to wrap your hand and you put a penny in his wrap, he'll be able to say, hey, something's up with the wrap.
Right,
so
right.
So when Margarito's thought about, I had no idea, and oh my, are you kidding?
I don't know if you remember the 24/7 with Pacquiao when he fought Margarito, but he was like, what do you mean he didn't know? He knew. It was so funny how, you know, because you know how Pacquiao talks? He
yeah.
was like, what do you mean he knew? He didn't know. He knew. I was dying. Oh, my.
But Rooney, isn't it the same as wearing steel-toed boots in wrestling? You know how the referees check them?
That is
right.
No, it's funny that you should mention that, but you know, that is true. But you know, on the other side, that's the exact equivalent. That would be like a wrestler, okay? See, wearing his knee pads and his elbow pads and trying to say that he had no idea that they were loaded. Are you kidding me? Man, when you're taking up and wrapping up, you know and feel everything that you are putting on, every little minute item, okay? So if you're going to say, well, my goodness, I didn't know that there's this piece of this or that in my knee wraps, or I mean in my knee pads or my elbow pads or my boots. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. Like,
well,
Lady A, didn't you ask Cortez a question?
Here's the thing. Can you hear me?
Hey,
you
no,
hear
back, you're back. You're back. Hey, Doc.
Well, let's hold on. I got to talk fast because I keep going in and out. For Margarito to say he didn't know that was in his hands, that's like a woman being 8 months pregnant since she had no idea she was having a baby. Come on. Come on. It's crazy. And you know, I.
Hello? Doc?
Yeah, go ahead, gang.
We lost
right,
you, Doc.
No, I'm sorry, Lady. Go ahead. But no,
no
Doc's right about that.
No, he is. I mean, it, you know, I'm really hoping that this fight in December, like I said, will allow Cotto the victor, you know, and you know, hopefully he can start fresh, and like I had said earlier, hopefully there'll be a chance for him to exercise the demons from the past, you know. I mean,
Lady, let me go on record right now as saying my prediction on that fight panel. He is going to totally dismantle and take apart Margarito, and he's going to enjoy every minute of it.
I mean, listen, if there's anybody that I've seen outside of Floyd Mayweather that trains hard, it's Cotto. I mean, you watch his workouts, and you've watched him on 24/7. He is a machine. you know, and he's very well conditioned. And I think that this is gonna this fight. I think he's you could count on him. Like Pacquiao was saying, he's gonna fight. He's gonna train an extra 2 weeks. I think you could count on Cotto training like day and night
for
this one. Day and night for this one. Yeah, day and night for this one because I think he wants this guy bad.
You know how they say it's business level personal? With this match, it's the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, look, we got some really good fights coming up. I mean, next month we got, Sergio Martinez on the 1st. We got Hopkins and Dawson coming up on the 15th. We got Frotch and Ward on the 29th. I mean,
who are you taking that one?
Dawson and Hopkins?
Yeah.
I think Hopkins kind of met his match on this one. I think it might be Hopkins by decision.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw, you didn't see the fight yesterday with Ortiz and Mayweather, but there was a match before that from the Staples Center where I can't remember the fighter's name. The referee stopped it way too early.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was, he was a combination from the other fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't really staggering or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the referee just jumped in the middle and stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it has more to do with the main event fight. Just get this one over with. Get the main event fight on. That's what I saw no reason to stop it.
You know, it's interesting you say that because it's interesting you say that because at the Gamboa fight and the Gamboa De Leon fight on Saturday, September 10th, last week, there were a couple of fights with a referee that people were looking at each other.
Let me say this. I keep cutting out. I thought Margarito had the tools to beat Cotto the first time without cheating. Now I'm inclined to agree with you, Rooney, with what he's been through. Cotto, especially with Emmanuel Stewart in his corner, will dismantle, dismay, and beat him. But he had
to. He's going to destroy him, Doc. You're right.
He couldn't beat him the first time. Timing and Emmanuel Stewart is the difference in this fight the second time around. Lady A?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. You know, I mean, he's going to come out there like Victor Ortiz came out for his fight against Berto. You saw his face, he wanted to destroy Berto. I think that's the same way he's going to come out for Margarito.
Everything that he hits Margarito with Lady A, Doc, and Sea Wings is going to have good night written all over it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
I agree. It's personal now.
Yeah.
It's not even sportsmanship.
And to make it even worse, you're having it in, like, Madison Square Garden. You know how many Puerto Ricans are going to show up for that fight? Forget about it.
They're going to do real good business for that Rumble. Good business.
Of course. I mean, I see it in the Garden. I don't see it in the old Felt Forum. You know, what's the new one?
No, not the smaller place. No, not the smaller.
Because they changed the name for it so much. What is the new, the smaller arena? They changed the name for it. But anyway,
the theater.
I see it more in the main Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, the big arena.
It'd be interesting to see who else Bob Arum is going to put on that card. It'd be interesting to see who else is going to fight.
If he puts a decent undercard underneath that.
Oh, forget it. I'm going to tell you this. I could see him putting, like, a couple of other Puerto Rican fighters on that card, like Juan Ma, you know. I could see him putting Juan Ma on there, maybe Louis Cruz. He won a fight at 131 pounds. He's a champion, a super featherweight champion. I could see him putting him in there. Maybe another Latino fighter like Gamboa. Maybe we might see that, you know. But I could see him putting a couple of nice, you know, Latin fighters in there just to, you know.
I could see them doing a decent walk-up business the night of the fight. I could see a decent walk-up depending on, like you said, who's on the undercard and how they promote it. But it has all the elements, revenge.
Mm-hmm.
A good fight. Guys who obviously aren't going to be inviting each other to each other's birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, two guys who really don't mind laying a smackdown on each other. You got the revenge fight. If this was a wrestling match, you'd put it in a 20-foot high steel cage.
Ah! WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania.
Indeed.
Hey, Rooney.
Well, actually, SummerSlam, not SummerSlam, Survivor Series is going to take place at the Garden this year.
Oh, Rooney,
yeah,
that's your thing,
up.
Rooney. You going, Rooney?
I'll probably be there, I'm pretty sure. A few things that I want to see there. By the way, tonight they have the Night of Champions, which is a pay-per-view.
Hey, Dusty. Come on, you're interrupting a conversation over here, Dusty.
He woke him up.
And he's not even paying attention. He's like, oh, boy, oh, blah, blah, all the Spanish stuff in the background. Okay, Davide.
You know this is the return of The Rock, right? He's going to, I think he's going to wrestle at Survivor Series.
The main thing was get him a match in to help build the him, John Cena thing for WrestleMania, see when. We already have the book for the WrestleMania. The year-ending show, and like I said, The Rock and John Cena is going to be the main event barring injury. So we'll see.
There's actually a little heat between those two in real life.
Hey Coco, did you see the new game? You see the new video game that's out on the Legends of Wrestling?
Yeah,
oh,
who's that? Who's
saying
hello? Who's that, Dusty?
Oh, that's Dusty, of course.
Yeah, Kobe from Brazil. He's going to threaten me with the girl from Ipanema, man.
Oh, God.
That's a nice threat, too.
Oh,
hey,
my.
Dusty, yeah. we're having a conversation here. Thank you for interrupting.
Okay. Oh, no,
why are you talking in the background about Rocon Gandule and Chuletas?
No, you know what? I'm talking with a dear friend who I've known for over 40 years, and I haven't seen him, so we're like all home week now. Okay, but hold on. Continue talking.
Who, Manny Ramirez?
Yeah, Manny Ramirez?
No, it's not Manny Ramirez. Get with that bum.
Hey, okay. Dusty, I got a question.
Okay, hold on.
Since I got C-Wings and Lady... Hey, Dusty, since I got C-Wings and Lady A here, a couple of law professionals, I want to ask you something. Are they going to be able to keep... Do you think they're going to be able to keep Manny from having three hots in a cot behind bars?
Who knows? I mean, that's a tough one there.
The guy's been nothing but a troublemaker ever since his retirement.
You know, like there's an old saying, my mother, you know, growing up, my mother always uses it. It just says the devil sits in idle minds, and he works
indeed,
in idle
indeed.
Minds. And when you have people that, you know, aren't focused, I mean, look at the story with Oscar De La Hoya. You know, like it always amazes me, like when people, they can't exit gracefully and enjoy their lives. It's like, why leave then? I mean, obviously you still have to have some tie to whatever it is you did because that's all you know. You know, but now it's like, you know, we're talking about somebody that, you know, really carried, you know, the United States on his back when he won the gold medal in the Olympics, you know, and here he is now, you know, the one guy that in boxing, everybody used to say, oh, he never had any problems, he never was never in any trouble, blah, blah. Now he leaves, and I shouldn't say he leaves boxing, but, you know, just as a boxer, because he's still involved in boxing. But now he leaves, and then you start hearing stuff, substance abuse problems, you know, marital problems, whatever. And it's like, it's just like, come on, you know, come on. Can't somebody just leave and exit gracefully, like Emmett Smith, and do something positive? You know, like, you know, it's always like
what about
drama.
Jason Williams? Jason
Same
Williams,
nonsense.
He was guaranteed that money, but he had to go get convicted of a felony for killing his limousine driver? That's the devil sitting in idle mind.
And we could go on and on. I mean, we could go on and on, Cedric, about how many players or have retired or NBA players go into the NFL. How many times haven't you and I talked about Pac-Man Jones? I mean, the guy's a disgrace. You know, keep going
really
on and on.
He really is.
How about Lawrence Taylor? Lawrence Taylor is another one. Like Cedric just said, Lawrence Taylor. I mean, his stories go on and on.
Football, cocaine. He was big in cocaine. By the way, Lady A and C Wings, I want you to know that LT got $2 million when he wrestled Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania some years ago. Got $2 million for the night, the promotion, all nine. And, you know, I know that's not a whole lot these days, but you figure the $2 million would have lasted for a while and kept the guy out of the papers.
Yeah. No, I mean, look at Terrell Owens now. I mean, you can go on and on with some of these players and these athletes, and it's just like, it's so disgusting. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, too, Latrell Sprewell way back. Oh, I got a family to feed. You got a family to feed? How many millions of dollars did you have? Your family
yeah.
can't eat?
Yeah, that idiot's making like $10 million a year talking about, I don't know, I'm going to feed my family. Yeah, right.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
But then, look at guys like Magic Johnson. See, he understood the concept of business. Michael Jordan understands the concept of business.
Right.
First, let's understand sports, the sport industry, professional sports, and college, they're both are businesses.
Right.
Yeah. And these guys, they took advantage of it, and they succeeded and they excelled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you'll ever see a guy like Michael Jordan broke. You ever see a guy like, Magic Johnson? I think he owns, like, TGI Fridays, movie theaters, real estate.
He owns a theater.
I mean, this guy's
Harlem,
into everything.
Dusty, theater in Harlem. I think it's, but he owns a few of them, Dusty, those old RKO Keys.
Absolutely.
I don't understand. I mean, okay. I mean, I, and a part of me thinks, and Cedric, you and I always had these intellectual conversations about this. A part of me thinks it's like, okay, these kids grow up in an environment, right, a rough environment. They're presented with an opportunity. They get out. But the thing is even like Cedric and I were goofing around talking about Ron Artest the other day, okay?
Yeah.
All right? Now, they're given the opportunity, and why isn't education injected into that? Why isn't after why education injected into that? You know, it's almost disgusting. And then when they leave, it's like they have so-and-so that takes so-and-so amount of money from them. They have all these stories, these hard luck stories. And it's like, somebody has to sit with them and be like.
You know what it is, Lady A? It goes to the character of the person. Let's talk in terms of Floyd Mayweather. I'm very sure every one of you saw that 24/7.
He's burning $100 bills.
And how he's flushing his $20. He did that act with 50 cents about using the phone, the money as a phone, and then he's
the
burning
money.
And then he bought a Cadillac, cash money. He took it out of his drawer, gave it to the dealer, and we had a cash transaction. I often repeatedly say to myself, I wonder, is this man saving his money? I mean, does he have a trust fund for his four children? Is a man going to school for business? Is he learning? I mean, this business of Mayweather promotions, what does
money
that mean?
Money Mayweather, huh?
Yeah, money Mayweather promotion. What does that mean? I mean, where is the foundation? As opposed to Oscar De La Hoya, or who built up banks and hospitals and theaters and charter schools and whatever. It's not just boxing. It's the general money, business, the corporate enterprise. What is Mayweather doing? Is he going to wind up back in Grand Rapids begging for coins?
I can see that happening.
Yeah, well, you got a guy that's burning $100 bills. And you know what? You know what disgusts me? Like, okay, you know what disgusts me also? Like, another thing was is they the way they kind of package everything, like, oh, well, it's no big deal. But you know what the reality is, guys? Listen, mark it down right now, today's date, right? Think how quick we've been doing the show already. Since I've been on the show since January, thanks to you guys, right? Okay?
Too long.
It's already, Dusty, seriously, look, it's already nine months. It's already 9 months, right? We're going into 9 months already. But look how quick the months, the years go by.
Yeah.
Now you turn around. Hey, listen, you guys turn around. Think about the last fight he had. The last fight he had was against Marquez. That was over a year and a half ago.
Exactly.
And people are like, wow, it seems like yesterday. Well, that was over a year and a half ago. You know, exactly. So let's stop and say and think. In 5 years, he'll be 39, pushing 40. You know,
exactly.
You're not going to be young forever. And what
exactly.
you do now and what you do now is going to dictate what you're going to become in the future.
Right.
What happens
okay.
is no one takes time to explain these things to these kids.
Well,
you know, they think they're
going to
have this forever, okay? They're going to have this money forever, and no one could be more of an example of it than Victor Ortiz, okay?
Right.
From rags to riches.
Let me ask you something. Has anybody, including Mr. Ellerby, president of Mayweather Promotions, has sat down with this man and say, hey, you got to invest, you know, you got to do this, and you got, you know, he flaunts his wealth. But
yeah, but
is there a substance
Dusty,
to it?
Dusty, even more so, I don't know if, and this is a question to the panel, okay?
Yeah.
You guys, I don't know if you saw the 24/7 when he was doing, you know, when he was burning the $100 bills, okay?
Yeah,
now,
right.
Now, Jim Lampley brought it up to Leonard Ellerby, okay,
yeah.
in a segment, and he said to him, he's like, in these hard economic times,
absolutely,
when people
I mean,
are
like,
going
yeah.
through issues, they cannot get jobs, okay? What is your response to this? What is your response to this type of behavior? You know what he said? Oh, Floyd is just, you know, he's giving people what they want, entertainment. Really?
Entertainer.
Floyd.
So people want to see, in 24/7, people want to see him arguing with his father and talking to him like that?
Absolutely.
What are you saying to the general public about you're more so as a minority, that's generally
exactly.
accepted conduct?
Well, you see, good job, Lady A,
you're right,
the panel.
Right.
Is that generally accepted conduct? Our kids are seeing this, and they're saying it's generally accepted conduct?
Well, you see,
I mean,
well,
it's disgusting.
Well, go a step further than that.
Cedric, you're a father. You got two daughters. I mean, come on. That's generally accepted conduct? You want your daughters to see that and think it's okay for them to talk to you like that?
No,
yeah.
but you know what? It even goes any further than that. About
yeah.
generally accepted conduct, that's saying in the media aspect of television, which is very powerful, he's
yeah.
kind of putting forth a message that this is how minorities act and should act.
Right.
Exactly.
Not even accepted. This is,
exactly.
I'm representing, because you got to understand, when you're at the top and you're at the public eye, people tend to think that's how everyone like yourself acts. Even look at the New Jersey, Jersey Shore. That's
yeah,
why a lot cool. of Italian Americans fought
exactly.
against that show because it kind of depicts, or at least the message is going out saying, this is how Italians are, and we're going to
exactly.
put this on TV. Not
right.
only are you going to see him broke, you're going to see him under investigation by the Internal Revenue Service. Because
exactly.
you got to understand, when you see a whole lot of money like that laying around, that raises a red flag in the Internal Revenue Service. That
said, who's paying
this
the
guy hiding money? Is he
exactly.
hiding money?
Right.
And there's some athletes that have gotten in trouble or was on the verge of getting in trouble with the IRS, like Derek Jeter.
Exactly.
When he was trying to skirt taxes. When you keep that much cash around, you're trying, the IRS is going to look at it as you're trying to avoid paying appropriate taxes. And that gets a lot of athletes, actresses and actors.
What
really?
Happens is
right.
what happens is it creates a hint of impropriety whether you're doing something illegal or not. And why
yeah.
are you casting that type of doubt on yourself? You know what I mean? Or bringing that to the forefront? You know, to me, it's just ridiculous. And we're forgetting one more thing. We're Americans. And what we put
right.
on TV, when you go to these other countries, they don't know how to distinguish between entertainment and reality and what's going on. So their perception
absolutely.
Is, oh, that's exactly how they are. Look.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
and now it's like, okay, so now you go somewhere. Now it's even that much more difficult for you to break that way of thinking, okay, because you're not like that at all. But it's more difficult for you to be accepted and more difficult for you to break those stigmas, okay, when you go to these other countries with people. So,
well,
I mean, to me, it's an embarrassment. It really is an embarrassment. I could
yeah,
say it to me, it's
to
an
also,
embarrassment.
But you also have to go along, not go along, I'm sorry, check that. You have to understand the concept of, let's get back to the Mayweather syndrome, that all of those people, including Leonard Ellerby, Mr. CEO, are highly paid stooges of Mayweather.
Right.
And whenever he rings a bell,
they hop and skip. Did you see the segment when he called a training session for 3 days at 1 o'clock in the morning? They all had to be there, and he hadn't shown up. But they better be at the gym waiting for him to come in. And he worked for, what was it, an hour and a half or two? And then, okay, everybody can go home. And, you know, once you know that you are the cock of the roost and they are beholden to you because they live, depend on what you pay them, you're not going to tell this person any different than what he wants to hear. If you're critical, when you see critical in a positive sense, I said, you know, Floyd, save your money. Don't you think this is wrong to put this thing on TV? I myself felt uncomfortable when he was showing off to the troops in Afghanistan his wealth, his closet full of clothing, his 11 vintage cars and all that. Well, those guys are getting pennies to risk their life to keep him in millions. You know,
We know something, Dutch. It's the syndrome, pardon me for interrupting, it's the syndrome of the goose that laid the golden egg. Everything is yes, as long as I'm getting paid.
Right, exactly. Right. And that's basically what it is. Now, who is going to tell him how to run his life, one, how to curb his enthusiasm about flaunting his money all over the place, two, And how to begin to think about those four children, if he hasn't thought about it yet, about their life, their lifestyle. They were born into wealth.
Let's not also forget that sometimes things have to happen for people to learn their lesson. You know, I mean, sometimes we could sit back and say whatever we have to a person, and it's going to fall on deaf ears. Now, I pray to God that nothing happens to, you know, in regards to that, because sometimes, you know, somebody needs to be shaken up a little for something to happen. And, you know, believe me, I'm not wishing anything negative, but, you know, sometimes somebody has to be exposed to something to then get them to wake up. It's like the story.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley.
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys there?
Are we still here?
Yeah.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Are we finished, though?
No, I'm still up. Are you guys there?
Are we finished? Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
no,
I was just my story.
I was just gonna say that I felt like that sometimes that you could say to somebody, it's like you could lead a horse to drink, you know, to the water, but it's up to them to drink, you know?
Right. So. It's true, but then you gotta look at the intangibles, like I said. Those kids were born in wealth. I mean, how could they readjust to poverty if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
And this is why you have to think beyond yourself and say, hey, let me put a nest egg away for them, and I could and they can excuse the fact that he's that way because he's a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
He's gambled away millions of dollars, and the following week he has gained back those millions and then some. So what?
Mm-hmm.
So what? The fact of the matter is that this is hard-earned money that you think is like water, like an avalanche that never stops. One day this is going to stop. And when an athlete is finished, he's 34, when an athlete is finished, you know, you're old for a long time other than when you were young for a short time.
But, you know, that brings up a good point, Dusty. You bring up a good point. I mean, and to the panel, one of the things that, you know, Rooney, you brought this up too, like, you're getting tired. You're losing interest of Pacquiao and him coming. All right, so let's say we do see this fight, guys. Who's left? There's no one left after this. There's no one left.
That's a big one. That's the Leonard Hearns of our time around here for this.
Right. So then who's left for this guy? There's nobody left for him to fight next. And he's still going to be young enough to fight another three or four more fights. He's still going to be young enough to fight another three or four more fights. So what is there left for him? I think this is it.
Did you guys read that a promoter, a billionaire, was offering Mayweather $100 million and Pacquiao $100 million to get it on? Wednesday.
Yeah, that's the same guy who made a crazy offer to one of them before, I think.
Yeah.
Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, For Saul Alvarez, they offered him $75 million to fight Saul Alvarez. Now this promoter comes out of nowhere and is offering Floyd $100 million to fight Pacquiao. So what it is that the spoil gets spoileder, if I can coin that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd is a $20 to $25 million fighter. Ortiz got $2.5 million. He was the champ. Floyd got 25.
I thought he got 40.
Who? Floyd?
Floyd, yeah, because he had creative control and he was able to have the money from the pay per view. He was able to get the money from the concessions.
Well,
he was able to get everything. So that's why he got the 40. Yeah.
Okay, if that's true, God bless him. I didn't hear that. I gotta research it. But I knew that his fee for that fight, I'm not talking about percentages, I guess.
Right.
Fee for the fight, his flat fee was $25 million. And his flat fee for Mosley was almost 25, not quite 25, the poor thing. And Mosley got $7.5 million. So in those two, in the Marcus fight, he got over $20 million. So he almost grossed almost 100, or close to $75 million, $80 million in three fights. Yes, you're right, Lady A in the panel. How long is this dream truck going to continue?
This is kind of totally off the subject, but I wanted you guys to know I found this interesting. A long time ago with in the Rocky movies, the guy who played Apollo Creed was named Carl Weathers.
Mm-hmm.
He played a car, Apollo Creed.
Because
you mentioned that rich billionaire. Anyway, at the time, there was this guy from Texas Oil or something who was a super rich millionaire looking to make a splash in the boxing business.
Yeah.
Do you know that he offered Carl Weathers $1 million to change his name? Listen. To change his name to Apollo Creed and fight a couple of exhibitions. And this is when a million was a million.
Right, no, it was a million. Yeah, back then, that was the 70s, right?
Yeah.
That was the 70s.
Yeah, a million is a million, of course. But what I'm saying to you is that you're right, Lady A, and everybody else is right. I mean, he's on a dream train where every time he fights, it's 25 and up.
Right.
25 and up.
Well, you know what? You know what? I think.
Pacquiao, win, lose, or draw, supposedly on paper, and if it is factual, is $100 million. So, but after Pacquiao, who's going to give him 10?
Right.
And to fight whom? A Klitschko?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
no, but you know what it is, Dusty, you got to say right now, outside of Pacquiao and Mayweather, those two guys are the face of boxing. Nobody's watching the heavyweights. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, these are the guys that have put boxing back or where it needs to be. And once these guys
level.
Right, so now when these guys fight each other, guys, next year, who's left to watch? Who? Who's going to bring that mystique? That, listen, Tyson did it for boxing in the 80s. But who's going to do it now when these guys leave? Who's left?
You're going to have to hope that there's some kid training in the gym right now.
Exactly.
That we don't really know about. That's kind of unheard of. Some kid training.
Exactly.
By the time that happens, another 2-3 years, the kid will be ready and will be able to capture the imagination of the boxing fan. Like you said, much like Tyson did when he was coming up.
And listen, just real quick, I don't want to digress, but very quickly.
Yeah.
Dusty, you're on. And Coco mentioned earlier about the fight that took place last month. Was that the Agbeko-Mares fight where the guy gave him like 20 blows below the belt?
I think you're right there.
Russell Moore, the referee, should be fired.
It is the same fight. It was Agbeko-Mares. It took me a while.
Yes.
Okay. Mares won the fight. They gave the fight to Mares.
Exactly.
The guy title on 20 low blows.
Yeah.
I have never seen so many low blows without a point being taken in my entire life.
And the last low blow was blatant because Mares stepped to the side and he hooked him right on the cup. And what did the stupid Russell Moore do, the referee? He counted gave Beko a count.
Yeah, and what was up with that?
He says that this was a foul, and he gave him a count.
Yeah.
I mean,
and not only that, Dusty and Lady A and T Wings had the nerve to have an attitude when I think Kellerman called them on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well,
that's the way
attitude.
I saw it. And, exactly.
And also Bernstein, who was the commentator for Showtime at the time, made a comment that it was like one of the most disgusting things that he had ever seen. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We've lost the professionalism of those in charge to run the fight, to officiate. And we've seen a lot of wrong calls, a lot of blatant calls. Exhibit A last night, Joe Cortez. But what I'm saying to you is Russell Moore was horrible. How could you turn around and see the man blatantly hit the man low?
Yeah.
Low and cause a knockdown on Beko. And Mare, who had been fouling from the very first bell.
Mm-hmm.
And Mari in the other fight with Victor Chinian was fouling Victor Chinian.
Yes, I remember that because Darchinian was making a big deal about it. Like, this guy kept giving me low blows.
As a matter of fact, I think Darchinian Darchinian sits around the tape to all the commissions
and the
various WBCs, DAs, and IBFs. I think he sent them a tape of it.
Well, he has to. He has to because... you see, in my days, I'm going to go back to the George Washington days, but in my days in boxing, the commission was lord and master.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you couldn't breathe without their permission, and any infraction, it was dealt with a heavy hand. I mean, sometimes I wonder, oh, my God, I better be careful, because these dudes ran the commission. And right now, who runs the commission if it isn't the incompetent referees, the promoters, the managers, and sometimes the fighters themselves.
Right.
I mean, commissions today have become lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take a stand.
You know what, Dusty? But kudos to the Jersey Commission.
Yes, I forgot that.
For the
them.
Paul
yeah.
Williams fight, I mean, I got to give him that one thing. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
They're starting to see, you know, some of the injustices, and you know, kudos to them for that. You know, for suspending those judges.
Yeah.
You know. So kudos to them for that, man, you know?
No, but that was a good move, and that perhaps should have sent a message to all the other commissions,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it hasn't happened.
Right.
But, you know, these things have to be corrected. And
mm-hmm.
now you say, not to try to answer your question, well, after Pacquiao and Manny, who's out there? Well, we just have to accept what's left over.
Right.
The little kiddie meals of boxing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
as we are boxing fans, we'll enjoy everything that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll enjoy the Sergio Martinez's, and we'll enjoy the Lito Donaires, and we'll enjoy the
Gamboa.
Yeah, the Gamboas and you know, all these guys, and there's some nice fights coming up.
I was saying.
Poodle.
Yeah, no, I know. We were talking about that. We talked about earlier.
Nice,
you know, Ward Frosch is coming up, you know, next month.
Yep.
I think that's going to be a good fight, you know.
Exactly.
Martinez is fighting the beginning of October, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson Hopkins, you know.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
We had a couple of good fights here and there.
Yeah, but
let me tell you all what would give a huge transfusion to boxing. I'm not saying it would bring it back up to the Tyson level or anything like that, and especially not the Ali level. But let me tell you what would put it back on the map, because it's losing a lot of its audience to the Ultimate Fighting, Miss Martial Art, you know, repetition.
And let's do
the closing.
Lord. Who met?
The Mets lost 4-2 to the Giants.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And with that, Dusty, tell everybody good night.
Thank you very much. Good night, whoever you are. Like Walter Winchell says to all the ships at sea, good night. But God bless. Let's continue the show. It was a great show today with Craig Flood.
It really was great, yeah.
Let's talk a little more about it. This is something.